here's what it said. Said he paid 5,000 with two fish and some bread. He's a married grower. Oh yeah, oh yeah, yeah. Hey, let's say it one time, right? He's a miracle worker.
He is a miracle worker.
Oh, miracle worker.
He is a miracle worker.
And I read my Bible, and here's what it said. He raised the Lazarus straight from the dead.
Is KAYT Gina Alexandria. This is gospel radio at its very best. 88.1 KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
It's about once again, gracious God, our Father. Now, as we turn our attention to your word, God, we're excited about what you have to say to us, God. And so, God, we come with receptive ears and hearts, asking that your spirit will meet us right where we are and then lift us to the place you would have us to be for your glory and our good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. I thank God again for the privilege of sharing in this wonderful occasion of preparing and continuing on in the wonderful state of marriage and relationships. And as God has given to all of us who are present here this night an opportunity just again to have fellowship among believers and to hear what God has to say, I want to again ask that you would seriously and sincerely open your ears and your hearts to hear God tonight, because I do believe that if you have braved the elements to come here tonight to be a part of this, trust you me, there are many other things you could have been doing tonight than being here, but you made your commitment to be here, and God is so faithful that he's going to meet you in this service tonight. And so I am grateful and thankful again, so grateful for the men of God and the women of God who are here again and who shall share on tomorrow, and for all of the blessed saints of God. There are three scripture references that I'd like to just challenge you with tonight as we look into the word. I want to begin, if you will, at 1 John chapter 4, begin at verse 7. 1 John chapter 4, beginning at verse 7. When you get it, would you stand on your feet and honor the word of the Lord? And we're going to go through these verses, and then we'll begin our message. 1 John chapter 4, beginning at verse 7, it says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for God is of God. Love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another." And verse 19 says, and I want to bring this into our view, "We love him because he first loved us." Now you may be seated. I just want you to, as you are seated, to turn your word, if you don't mind, to the book of Ephesians. And I just want to lift out of scripture verse 22, 23, and then move to verse 25. Ephesians chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 22 says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body." Verse 24 says, "Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything." Verse 25 says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." And then if you'll flip over in the Old Testament to Amos chapter 3, verse 3, and our final scripture reference, Amos chapter 3, verse 3, and it says very simply, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" And from these scripture references tonight, I want to speak from the subject, choosing to love. Choosing to love. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Neighbor, love is a choice." If you believe that, give God some praise tonight. Love is a choice. That's one of the reasons why the word takes exception with the world's phrase of falling in love. Falling in love is accidental. It's happenstance. It's situational. But true love is not accidental. It's not situational. It is a choice. And so choosing to love, according to the word of God, I think it's helpful for us to understand something very basic and elementary in truth and in foundation. And it is this, that the love that comes from and is extended from God to us is the beginning of all love that we share in the various areas and arenas of our lives. Whether we are talking about, and it begins with the agape love and passes on through the brotherly love and then the eros, the love between man and woman, all of the loves that we experience on this side of glory has its beginning in the love that God himself extended to us. It is supreme. It is the ultimate example of love, because God shows us how to love truly,
how to love purely and how to love totally. And this love is not subject to emotions and feelings. It is a decision to love. And so I think it's important that you understand that, because when you understand the kind of love God demonstrated toward us, in every arena there's going to be challenges to our love, regardless of what arena that love is out of which we are operating in. We can't simply base our affection and our feelings and our emotions on the strength of our love. Our love must be pure, and it must be from a form and from a source that has given us an example that we can follow, so that we will be able to deal with and handle all of the issues that come against that love in that particular relationship or in that particular arena out of which we share love. Choosing to love is so important as we look at the word and understand. Let's go back to 1 John and begin there and walk our way back through to Amos, if you don't mind. First of all, the word says in 1 John 4th chapter, beloved, talking about those who are already a part of the household of God, let us love one another, for love is of God. Listen at this. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Now, again, this love is deeply rooted in that God extended to us, and that God has extended to us is the essence of what we extend to others. With the godly love, we can love the unlovable. With the godly love, we are able to show what has already been shown to us. With the godly love, the only way that we can show and share with others is because we have already been shown and shared with by God. And so God puts us in a position where we don't have a right to hold back this wonderful love from others when He did not hold back this kind of love from us. It is the basis out of every form and foundation of every relationship that is born out of love. It begins with us knowing the true love of God. I tell you, it's important, because when you understand how much God loves you, it makes you not look at the person as much as it makes you look at yourself. Because we think sometimes we're all that until we look at the way God loves us. And every now and then, sometimes we not only understand it, if we ever look at it from God's viewpoint and vantage point, we will recognize that there are some times when we just don't love ourselves. And for God to love us with such a pure and wonderful love like that, it will help us to be tolerable with folks sometime who gets on our last nerve. Now look, if you go on through, and it just pretty much sums up in all that he's saying. He says, he that loveth not, listen, knoweth not God, for God is love. You can't say that you love without having an experiential reality of God's love toward you. It is out of the love toward you that you extend to others. But you can't love the way God wants you to love unless you've experienced His love. So if you don't love, it's because you've never experienced firsthand the love of God. The Bible says, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him, not us through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God. Now look at it now, because this sets up the basis again for every relationship. See, a whole lot of us are afraid to love and to love first. And if it's real love, it is not based upon somebody loving you first when you've already been demonstrated love first. The supreme love that comes from God. So listen at this, because here is the reality. That when we were unlovable, not worthy of being loved, God could have been rejected by us, but He didn't even take that into consideration. His love was so wonderful, so rich, and so real that He extended it to us and demonstrated it to us when we didn't deserve it. So real love does not just reach out for similar love. Listen at this. Because even though you are unlovely at one point and were at one point and sometimes still are at some points, God's love still reaches out to you. Now, I'm going to bring all of this together and bring it home that you'll understand it, because, again, it's going to help you to get off your high horse and get down on your knees and ask God to humble you and give you some patience and some work through and some act right. Some wife is saying amen right about right now. Listen to what the word says. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, I mean, you can say, if God so loved me. Listen to this. If he so loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Now, it starts here and it works again to every relationship extended. Now, when we go to the marital relationship, and let's go to Ephesians chapter 5, if you will. And let's look at this word again. Verse 22 says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife. Now listen at this, get the relationship and the structure together. See, because so many relationships have problems because folk don't know their roles. And if you don't know your role, you obviously don't know your responsibility. And if you don't know your responsibility, obviously you will never know the rewards of being in your place to prosper the way God wants you to. Now listen at this. The word says, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. You don't question Christ as being the head of the church and the structure and the order as it relates to how God has set it up. Then you need to understand we cannot divide God's plan or divvy up God's plan the way we think and the world dictates to God's plan and think that marriage is going to be successful any other way than the way God has structured it to be. I tell folk, especially when they come and we do marital counseling and we get to the part when we're going through the vows and it tells about the, wives, obeying your husband. And then she started looking all crazy at him like, you know, with them looks and them, all of that kind of stuff. I say, is there a problem there? Because here's what you've got to understand. If you marry a man, you cannot obey. You cannot surrender to who does not appear to be able to be the head of you, the leader of you, the covering of you, the one that you look up to as your provider and protector, the one that you have the, again, given desire to be submissive to, then you've got a problem before you get started. Because the structure is, whether you like it or not, God says he's the head of you. Now, brothers, when you do your job and you are who God says you are and you're holding up your responsible part and you are being what God's called you to be, the woman ought not have a problem obeying you. Because she knows you have her best interests at heart. She knows that even if you make a decision and then yet share it with her later, that even if she hadn't had a chance to put her input in it, she would have surrendered to what you said anyway, because she knows not only are you prudent in decision making, but you are prayerful in decision making, and that you are always patient to hear from God. And so it's only when you hear what God has said to do that you work and walk upon that same choice. And when you share it, it's not as I am the head and you're going to hear what I have to say. Sometimes you've got to make decisions and the other person has to deal with and live with, but you ought to know that when the decision is made, you have been considered. And so you've got problems and issues when you can't obey and see the husband as the head of you. Listen at the word. Because nowhere in the word does it say that in this structure that we're equal. The Bible says the husband is the head. It didn't say there are two heads on the shoulder. Head of the wife means she has her head submissive and surrendering to him who is the head or the authority of the relationship. And so it's important to see the structure the way God sees it. Now, I know you all know this, and this is old stuff, but somebody might not understand it. So I'm going to take a minute and just help us understand this. Look at why this is important for you to understand, because when it makes, again, this clear, it also shows you an example of how it ought to be structured, even as Christ, the word says, listen, is the head of the church and he is the savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, listen, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. You see, now, again, when you understand what you have to do according to the word of God, and notice here, there are no exceptions here, though we make exceptions. And a lot of us do not do our part because the other partner didn't do his or her part. But God does not make exceptions for the responsibility of the roles. You should have thought about that before you said, I do. Now listen at this. Because when you understand it the way God wants you to understand it, you are responsible for it. It ain't about feelings and emotions anymore. Because you're going to understand it's a contract. It's an agreement. And so just because you make a contract, an agreement, and you don't feel like holding up your end of the bargain, doesn't mean then that you can still keep all of the benefits of the contract. I want you to see something else. Let's turn, if you will, to Amos. And now that I've given you my introduction, I'm going to go on preaching now. Now listen at this, because I want you to see this. This simple word says something that is very profound. And I think it's important for us to see, because as we look at this choosing to love, it's a choice. This word pulled out again, specifying agreement, specifying contracts, specifying those coming into that place of oneness. Notice what the word says. Can two walk together? Can they really walk together? Except they be agreed. Unless they decide to go together down that life's journey. Unless they decide on what destination that they are going to end up in. Can two really be successful? Except they make up their mind in the beginning, we are in it to win it. See, a whole lot of us go in it with, if it just don't work out, we got options. Y'all acting funny tonight. Now, when it goes according to the word of God, and many of us are not taught this, we don't know this, and this is one of the reasons why this seminar is going on, to help us. A whole lot of folk have said, if I knew then what I know now. Life, marriage, relationships would be different if I knew then, when I made mistakes and made choices that were outside the word and the will and the way of God, I would be so much better now. Well, this is the reason why we're teaching and sharing and showing, so that folk can make educated decisions based on the word of God. And there is a part in the heart for the feeling and emotions, but it has to line up with the scripture in order for God to make it successful. Now look at this. Robert C. Dodd said, the goal in marriage is not to think alike, but to think together. Look at what Amos is saying. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Listen at this. Listen, we don't need to think alike. We need to think together. And there is a variance here, because when you have the reality of two coming together, first of all, there is a choice made on both parts that we are choosing to come together. And it begins with a relationship, and then it progresses on to marriage. But you've got to make a choice in the beginning to love, and to love with a divine, godly love, and with a love that God takes pleasure in, and a God that will provide for all of the necessary things of that relationship when he joins it together according to his word, and people are submissive to the leading of his spirit, then you can have the success from relationship to marriage to the end. And that is what God wants for his people. Amen. Listen at this, because I want you to see something else. When you look at it and see the way that it turns out, there's a word that says, love makes the world go round. Franklin P. Jones says, not necessarily so. Love is what makes the ride worthwhile. It don't make the world go round, but it does make the ride worthwhile. And you got to understand that it's important to have the kind of love that God gives to each other, for each other, out of which he himself has given so much, so that it is pure, it is powerful, it is strong, and it is stable. And when we understand how we have got to enter into a godly contract, a godly agreement, a godly covenant where God is a part of it, we have got to set the limitations of our situations based upon the word of God. Again, I want you to see this, because there are some things that I want you to jot down as relates to this verse and marriage and relationships. First thing you need to know is that if you're going to enter into agreement with someone, you're going to have to make one adjustments. Man. Adjustments. I don't care who you are, because you're talking about two people from two different places, backgrounds, experiences, situations, homes, etc. There are going to be adjustments. Man. Then the second thing you need to know is, not only is there going to be adjustments, but then there's going to need to be alignment. Alignment. I'm going to walk back through and break them down, but alignment. Because the adjustment is that part that prepares you for alignment, getting it together, coming together as one. And then after the adjustment and the alignment, are you able to enter into an agreement? An agreement. Now, this is important, because understand this, and understand it from the context not only of Scripture but of life's experiences for those who have had successful relationships in every arena of life. First of all, when you enter into a relationship with anybody else, regardless of the arena that it is in, be prepared to make adjustments. Compromises. See, the first thing is, you've got to understand that you cannot enter into a relationship without being ready and prepared to bend. Bend. You can't go in there saying it's going to be my way or the highway. My way or no way. You can't go into a relationship and expect that it's going to be blessed and benefited with you not giving your share and your part. It is as much a compromise on your part as it is on the other person's. And too many, when we go in, we're already looking at the other person and not looking at ourselves. Most times when we are not successful, it's not so much what the other person didn't do, but it's what we didn't do. We weren't willing. We get to a point where we won't bend, and if we won't bend, then we're going to find it difficult to move to the next stage, which is to blend. Listen at this. Adjustments causes alignment. But if you don't bend, you'll never be able to blend. And it's a progressive order. It's a progressive state. Because how many times have you gone on a first date, you know, you saw this person and you were just excited about the possibility of a relationship, and it didn't get past the first date because you recognize, wait a minute, this person don't plan on bending? Or after you saw this, you say, I ain't about to bend to this foolishness. I know some of you married, so you don't raise your hand, but we talking about the past now. Now listen at this. You don't have to try to act older than thou, because 9 out of 10 times the person you with wasn't the first person that you have dated. Amen. Amen. So the reality is, you've experienced some of this. Now listen at this, because again, adjustment is so important, because here this is likened to a journey. And if you're going to liken this to a journey, then you've got to first agree, where are we going? I'm on my way so-and-so. Would you like to go so-and-so? Well, no, I don't want to go there. I want to go here. Well, first of all, we recognize we can't walk together, because you want to end up someplace I'm not willing to go. And see, a whole lot of us don't communicate to be able to articulate the fact that, listen, and that's why we talk about folk growing apart, because they didn't sit down in the beginning and make adjustments for and understand where the other person wanted to be at the end of this situation. And so you've got to first decide,